Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs, where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're doing something a little bit different than what we normally do. This is our last show before Christmas. So instead of doing something lame like talking about the history of reindeer or something, we wanted to do something special for our Patreon subscribers and those who are active on our Facebook page. That's History Dweebs, the podcast group on Facebook. So we created a little fictional story, and it's entitled The Podcast Murders Terror at TimmyCon. So what we're going to talk about is all fiction. So if fiction and fictional podcast is not your thing, you may want to wait and check us out, or check out our next podcast, or go back and look at some of our previous podcasts, because this is the only time we've ever done a fictional one. We're not sure how it will go, but it's something fun we just wanted to do for our loyal listeners as a way to say thank you and Merry Christmas. So before we do that, though, I want to introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and today festive.
I'm so festive.
You are the very talented, very beautiful Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Pill Poppin', Penis Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Trying to get in the Christmas spirit.
I know.
You don't seem like you're getting into the Christmas spirit.
You know what?
Timmy.
I'm just tired. I don't know what's wrong. I've just not felt well. But you're not here yet, so you can't comment.
Nope. Yeah.
This is Brandy time.
It is. Sorry. It is Brandy time.
Are you ready for the holiday, Brandy?
Just about. I have to. When I leave here, I got to stop at Toys R Us and pick up a thing.
No, it's a cute story. What are you picking up?
My youngest child wants Black Panther from, is his name? Captain America, Civil War. He wants Black Panther. He wants the mask and the gloves.
I thought he was joining the Black Panthers.
Well, he thought about it.
Or did he?
And we talked about it for a long time.
Do they let 5-year-old white kids into Black Panthers?
Not usually, but he's so rotten ass, they might make an exception.
He's militant.
He's got street cred, too.
He's a ninja. He's got ninja skills, so,
So the story is that he went to Toys R Us.
With my mother-in-law and my husband to Toys R Us because they were going to pick out a Christmas present, and he wanted this mask and these gloves, and my husband, they kind of talked him out of it. Oh, you won't play with it, you won't do this and whatever. So they went and they picked out a couple video games and came home. And so when I asked Noah later how his trip was with grandma and dad, and he's, well, they wouldn't let me get what I wanted, and I wanted, this Black Panther stuff, and so I just got video games, but they're okay, but I really wanted,
So you're going to say he'll be really surprised.
So he will be pleasantly surprised from Santa.
Aren't you a good mom?
Bless
your heart.
Well, I fuck up the rest of the year. I figure, I can get Christmas right.
One
day a year I get to shine.
Talking about coming once a year, let's And let me introduce the other member of our panel.
There you go.
The very talented, the suave, the debonair, the moral compass of podcasting, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm goddamn tired of Christmas, Timmy.
Did you get your Christmas shopping done? The last time we talked, you were still...
I got my fucking Christmas shopping done, but you know what? I'm telling you, there's lucky... This could have been... I could have been on my own podcast, Timmy.
Okay.
Now, Renee is looking for gifts.
Right.
And she... Because she goes out blindly. She goes out shopping like Stevie Wonder. She don't know what she's getting anybody. She just... It's like...
It's
hopefully
not strategic.
Ideas come to her.
It's not strategic.
Right.
All right.
So then she says, oh... Holly likes red pandas. We can get her a red stuffed panda. Where in the fuck are you going to find a red panda?
The zoo?
Red panda? Yeah, exactly. So I get on my phone. I'm on Amazon.com. I'm like right here. Amazon, next day delivery. I can get it. I wonder if... Let's go to Target. They might have some red
pandas. They do not have
I'm
red
like,
pandas.
Amazon right here. We go to Target. You know, TJ Maxx sometimes have... Motherfucker, Amazon right here. Amazon, why are you not listening to me? Well, what if it doesn't come on time? Motherfucker, want a quest for a red panda, and I got it right here. There's 38 red pandas that I can get delivered to my door the very next day.
Yeah, because
we live near a fulfillment center, so
right.
We can do next day thing.
They'll send a drone to our house.
You're damn right. I wish they sent... So this is what I live with, Timmy.
Did you get a red panda?
I got the red panda.
Where did you get it from?
Amazon.
All right.
After we went to 38 stores looking for a damn red panda.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
You do not seem to be in the Christmas spirit, Colonel.
Those are first
world
problems.
And I got,
they really are first world
I got
problems.
All three boys home now. Tanner got home last night. I got to pick up Tanner at 1 o'clock in the morning. I got home.
On the Megabus?
Yes. I got home. And Logan was getting home from work, and Renee decided that it would be nice to have all three of her boys in bed with her, all four of her boys, including Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, being tired and wanting to go to bed, had to tell Logan and Taylor, get the hell out of my spot. And she said, well... All the rest of the year, you can sleep there. They can lay there for a little while. I was like, later, what am I supposed to just sit on the goddamn floor?
Meanwhile, you're still pissed about the red panda.
Yeah, I'm still, yeah. And so I just went laid on the couch. And
that is a harrowing tale of woe. And how did you survive?
It is.
I'm just telling you.
And how do you do it?
You people all look at me like, oh, being a colonel is so glamorous.
I don't, ever.
And it's not. It's not what you think it is. I'm just telling you.
I don't ever
it's
look
not
at you
all,
that way.
It's not all peaches and cream. Being
it's not. People don't understand. And then you're trying to Christmas shop. I'm on my phone looking at Amazon. I got little kids tugging on me. Colonel, can I have your autograph? It's like, get the hell away from me.
No, they weren't.
Yeah.
No.
Could have happened.
No.
Could have happened.
All right. Let's move on. Let's turn the page, Colonel.
I'm trying.
It's only going to get better from here.
No, it don't get better because now tomorrow night I got to drive all the way for an hour and 10 minutes to go.
You got to go to the Berg.
Yeah.
For what?
And to do daughter with my Christmas with my daughter.
Well, that's something you should look forward to.
It's
not
so, it's
not
unnatural.
In the Berg.
First of all, it breaks all of the laws of nature, Timmy.
Why?
Because the kids come to the parents' house, and that way when the dad gets aggravated, gets bored, whatever, he can just go right down to his little spot where he hides from everybody.
So what you're saying is Christmas is all about you.
Christmas is about not fucking with me. That's all. I just don't like to be, you know, kids should come to the parents' house. It's an hour and 10-minute drive.
I know where you're
kids
going.
Kids should be going to the parents' house. Don't you agree with that?
I agree that nobody should ever go to Miamisburg.
Right.
That's what I agree with.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm tired of Christmas.
I will be locking
Christmas
myself
gets on
in
my nerves.
Apartment for 4 days.
Timmy's going to be a hermit.
Yeah, Timmy. Yeah.
Got it.
See, you got the kind of Christmas I want to have, Timmy.
See, but you could always go to the Colonel's house, Timmy.
I will be locked in my apartment for 4 days.
The two of you could go down.
I'm
going to
be locked
time.
In with a book on Charlie Manson. So
I think
Charlie,
I might come over to your house for Christmas.
Yeah, I've got Charlie. Thank you.
You could have two Charlies.
Yeah, I don't want two Charlies. Let's talk about our Patreon subscribers, shall we?
We shall.
Are the people who keep us on the air. We want to thank them very much for supporting our podcast. And they include Alicia and Chip, Cindy Lou, Brandy McBride. Thank you, Brandy. Annette Petre, who I'm going to buy some soap from later today. What's the name of her store, Colonel?
Obsessively Calm. She sells body butter, soap. All kinds of nice things.
Yeah, she told me all this stuff.
She's sending me some body butter.
Yeah, so check her out. You can look it up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, Obsessively Calm.
Obsessively.
Yeah. Okay, check it out. Thank you, Annette, for your support. Lise over there in Norway, thank you for your support, Lise. Leslie Hagar, thank you, Leslie, for your support. We appreciate it very, very, very much. Jahara over there in Italy. Jahara, thank you. Andrew Happ, we appreciate your support, Andrew. Mandy Swanson, thank you, Mandy. Jennifer Siemens, and, of course, her mother, Linda, and Jennifer's son, Hunter, thank you very much. Bridget Clavey's always very generous and supports our podcast. Thank you, Bridget. Heather Poole, of course, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast. Thank you, ladies. And Rudy the Wonder Dog. And if I left anyone out, I'm so terribly sorry. I think I've got everyone, though. But if I left you out, I apologize. So let's talk about this podcast. Like I said, this is a fictional podcast, and we're dedicating it to all of our listeners. And we've included our listeners within the story. So it's kind of fun. We're hoping listeners that asked to be included. Yes, listeners who asked to be included.
We took some poetic license with some of you.
I'm not sure this kind of poetry deserves a license, but
we're going to get a license revoked for this one. But.
So this could be totally funny, or it could be totally a bomb. We don't know. That's going to be up to you, but we are going to go ahead with it. We promised the folks on our Facebook page that we would put something together for them, and as a way to say thank you. And we do appreciate all of you who either support us through on Patreon or on our Facebook page, History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group. And we know a lot of you listen, but don't participate in on the Facebook page. We invite you to do so, but we know some of you, for whatever reason, you just like listening. So we appreciate you as well.
We can't include you because we don't know who you are.
Yeah, we would love for you to join us on History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group. But we do appreciate you listening. We know about, I think somewhere between 15% of our listeners are on the Facebook page. So there's a lot, you know, like 85% of the people are not. So for you, this we hope you enjoy the story. As I said, this is just our way of saying thank you for listening all year. And we look forward to bringing you new podcasts in 2017. We'll be so glad when 2016 is over, Carl. 2016's been a brutal year.
I'm not looking at 2017 being any better, Timmy.
Yeah,
no, that's too bad for you.
All right.
I'm a glass half empty kind of guy.
I know.
You kind of are. People die around you all the time.
Well, you know, I see a half empty glass and I want to know who stole my fucking water. That's what I want to know. Who stole my goddamn water?
Okay. The podcast murders. Terror at TimmyCon. By the way, just so you don't think that I'm like a egomaniac.
He totally made that up.
Brandy decided on this title. I did not want my name in the title.
And you have to know that this part that Timmy's going to be reading off here, Timmy wrote.
Well, this part, correct. And you need to know that the part that the Colonel reads, he wrote.
Yeah.
So,
what's Brandy, the devil reading?
She's reading the part that I wrote.
Oh, okay.
Because yours made me sick.
But just so you know, I'm not like on an ego trip, so I didn't want to put my name in the title. But not on an ego trip. We had this discussion last night through text, and I was like, it's kind of obnoxious. But anyway, the podcast murders, Terror at TimmyCon. In early 2019, see, we're going into the future, Brandy.
So we're lasting longer in 2017.
Yeah, because we have like unbelievable success next year.
Okay.
And that's
when it happens.
Yeah, it's when it.
That's when we break through.
We break through next year. It's our breakthrough year. 2017 will be our breakthrough year.
Wow.
We will no longer be an inferior podcast.
It won't have that complex. We'll still have the complex, though.
Yeah.
And we do. I do have kind of an inferiority complex, you know, on our podcast. But you know, Michael Bersaud said we're the punk rock of podcasting. So that was kind of cool. That's a nice compliment. In 2019, the History Dweeb podcast has just won a Golden Globe, an Academy Award, and the coveted Golden Potty.
Yes.
The Golden Potty.
Yeah. They also received two Tony Awards for History Dweeb's The Musical.
Yes.
We're really taking off.
Where Hugh Jackman portrayed the Colonel.
Nope.
A couple months earlier, History Dweeb's host and producer, Tim Scott, was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year.
Yeah, he wrote that.
Well, a little poetic license.
You don't want to toot your own horn, but yeah.
I didn't put my name in the title.
Your modesty's bullshit.
Tim began getting many, many movie offers almost daily.
Okay.
And began a very public romance with actress Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, we're both from Kentucky, and we both live in Kentucky.
It could happen. The right age.
I can see the attraction. Yeah.
Well, you can see my attraction.
Your attraction to her.
To her.
Yeah.
Despite continued weak performances by Brandi Herman and the Colonel,
a dick.
The podcast remained at number one on iTunes for 24 consecutive months. That's pretty good, Colonel.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Even though Brandy and the Colonel were unpopular and received very bad iTunes reviews, they continued to receive new opportunities because Tim was carrying the podcast. Chuck Waters, the Colonel, got a part-time gig on the Home Shopping Network selling homeostatic stool softeners.
Homeostatic stool?
I don't know what that is.
No,
homeopathic?
Sound
homeopathic. Yeah.
Let's do homeopathic, just for funsies.
Or homosexual.
I think that's something entirely different.
Chuck would be, or Charles would be involved in several charities and become the face of Bloody Stool.
In a Fonzi scheme?
Somebody got to be.
In a Fonzi scheme, yeah. He also did a lot of work with men suffering from erectile dysfunction.
It's a curse, Timmy.
He started an international support group that became known as Floppy Anonymous.
Excellent.
Group members would soon start referring to themselves as a friend of Chuck's. In 2017, Chuck attempted a singing career. He performed at the Good Shepherd Maynard Home for Retarded Boys Christmas party, but was disheartened when no one applauded his rendition of Santa Maria. In fact, several of the boys wrote strongly worded letters to the Dean of Retarded Boys about their poor selection as prefer hiring Chuck as a performer. Wow. The Colonel did not always handle his fame well. He got into vicious Twitter wars with President Trump and Kanye West until his account was eventually hacked and deleted by Anonymous. Colonel, you got to watch that.
I dare Anonymous to get into my Twitter account.
Brandy had difficulty handling her newfound fame. Even though she was poorly received by her audience, she was able to ride Tim's coattails in become famous. This did not prevent her from getting into trouble, however, as she was arrested twice in 2018 for vagrancy inside her own home. Gotta watch that, Brandy. Brandy's
bullshit charges.
Yeah, don't have a stick.
Brandy took advantage of her newfound fame and supplemented her income by getting into a public brawl with comedian Amy Schumer. And they held a nationally televised UFC event in which she fought the young comedian. Brandy came in third place. So, Brandy, what happens next? Let's just give you a little background before we get into the murders. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that die.
The mystery dweebs have become the pinnacle.
Yeah.
To recap, we are at our pinnacle.
To recap, yeah. We're doing
2 years have passed.
Yeah. I'm carrying you guys, basically.
Yeah, we're bigger than NPR.
And it's due to me.
Yeah, it's due to you.
Right. The first signs of trouble occurred on January 2nd, 2018. 29-year-old Brittany... Is it Catlett?
Does that sound right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Britt Catlett.
A longtime listener, first-time caller to the podcast, was ran over by a semi-tractor trailer just south of Atlanta.
Oh.
The truck sped off into the distance, leaving Brittany to die along I-75.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brittany.
Although she can't hear you. She's dead. Although her remains were nothing more than a mud puddle, police were able to identify her from dental records. Investigators wrote it off as an accident, even though her loving husband, Chris... owned a semi and could not account for his whereabouts at the time of the murder. Chris would go on to collect several $1 million in insurance money and set up a brothel in Reno.
Well, he put the money to good use.
The family held a memorial service for the young nurse at the site of the accident. The ceremony had to be postponed when several members attending the service were also run over by a semi.
Ah, such a tragedy.
Some shit Brittany luck.
Chris, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's a shame.
No, Chris made out okay. He's a brothel owner now.
Yeah, he did all right.
Yeah,
he's a pimp,
and he's a pimp. And
it's not easy.
It's not pimping's not easy because no. Bitches be testifying.
Bitches be testifying.
But Brittany is basically a spot on the road in I-75.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry about that, Brittany.
The next listener to die was young Amber Croup from Triadelphia, West Virginia. On January 14th, 2018, Miss Croup was walking her dog while wondering aloud why she lived in a town with such a stupid fucking name.
When she was Colonel, you gotta admit that's a stupid fucking name for a city.
It's like three Philadelphias.
Philadelphia.
I see.
Let's see. When she was grabbed from behind and stabbed 48 times with what police believed to be a No. 2 pencil, Miss Croup would later die of lead poisoning, and she could not describe her attacker other than to say he or she seemed to have nice penmanship.
Oh well, that's a clue.
It's important.
The next victim was 25-year-old Amber Scoville from Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh, Amber.
Not Amber. Amber
was jogging, listening to history dweebs, when a shadowy figure stepped in front of her and blew her head off with a 12-gauge shotgun. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, Amber.
What kind of thoughts run around that head of yours, Tim?
Paramedics arrived to the scene just to hear Amber's final words. Did Chuck read my shout-out yet? Norman police did only a cursory investigation and concluded Amber's murder was likely the result of some teenage prank.
Kids, you know. Kids nothing. Today.
The next two listeners to die were 44-year-old William Truex and 33-year-old Mary Ray, both residents of upstate New York. On January 30th, Truex was found murdered in his bed listening to the Elmer J. McCurdy episode.
Oh, that was a good episode,
Colonel. He'd been stabbed 473 times with an axe pick.
See, I think that's personal.
Isn't it a pickaxe?
Well, whatever.
After 350, it becomes personal.
Yeah. look at his inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
The killer cleaned out his fridge and left an empty can of Spam on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
100 miles away, Mary Ray was home knitting when an intruder strangled her with twine. Her body was not discovered for 2 weeks because apparently the killer had left a note on the door that read, "I'm knitting, leave me the hell alone," signed M.R.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like Mary Ray.
Investigators noted the fine penmanship.
Ah, see, kids.
Ooh, putting pieces together here.
The next curious death occurred a week later on February 7th, 2018, when a 27-year-old nurse named Angela Ball was abducted from the hospital in Lima, Ohio.
Not Angie.
Oh,
police found Miss Ball's body a week later in a wooded area outside of Lima. She had been bound, gagged, and her head had been bashed in by a bedpan.
Oh.
Lima police, because they're on top of this, Lima police suspected foul play.
Can't get nothing by the Lima police. Lima's finest.
As fate would have it, the next victim would be
if she had lived in Peru, she would be in Lima. Isn't that fucked
she
up?
Would be in Lima, but she was in Ohio, so she
and
was
in
Lima.
And if you live in Toledo, Ohio, you live in Toledo. But if you live in Toledo, if you live in Spain, you're in Toledo.
Okay.
That's a fucking fascinating fucking fact.
I like to throw
okay,
in.
Okay, Magellan, thanks for cluing
like
us in on that.
I like to throw in fascinating little facts as we go through this. It adds
well,
to
then
the listener's
when you
experience.
Find some fascinating facts, why don't you share them?
Yeah.
As fate would have it, the next victim was from Ohio as well when 28-year-old Denny McNamara was found murdered outside
Denny.
His Norwood, Ohio home.
Denny Mac.
Poor Denny.
He'd been bludgeoned to death with what police believe to have been a White Castle double cheeseburger.
Oh, those things are hard. Probably.
Apparently, the bun was very stale and had the force of a cement block.
You let him get more than an hour old.
Oh,
yeah.
The investigation got
off to
a slow...
But you know it's safer
slow...
to get hit with them and eat them.
Yeah, it is.
The investigation got off to a slow start when police initially identified the victim as Denny McFarland. Mr. McNamara's wife was greatly relieved when she learned it was in fact her husband and not Denny McFarland who was brutally murdered. The next unfortunate listener, Monica DiAgostino, a young paralegal from Media, Pennsylvania. Monica was working at her office on February 20th.
Monica's from Media, Pennsylvania? I've been there.
I don't know. It's here.
That's Rezka's home office. That's Rezka's home
base. Yeah, okay.
Again,
I've been to Media.
Again, fascinating.
I could have investigated that murder.
Sure. She was working at her office when she decided to go out to lunch at 9:45 in the morning. She was probably meeting Tim.
Yeah.
To meet the crowds.
And she was never heard from again. Her employees did not report her missing for several weeks, as they did not actually miss her. Her nude body was found wrapped in saran wrap on the outskirts of Pittsburgh. She had apparently been drinking heavily before her death and appeared very bored. Police suspected that she died from boredom as she was being forced to listen to a tape of Chuck Walters discussing his dog, Rudy, while being wrapped in saran wrap.
Yeah, that's a bad way
that's
to go.
That's a bad way to go, yeah.
The next listener to die was 43-year-old Amy Carol Payne. She and her family were on their way to Disney World when they stopped at a truck stop just outside Fairfax, Virginia. Miss Payne was found in a bathroom stall and had been shot by a crossbow. Between the eyes.
Oh.
On the stall door,
I bet
the
it was
killer.
Darryl.
Well, on the stall door, the killer had written, "Die, dweebs, die." An autopsy was performed, and the coroner recorded the official cause of death as a suicide.
Well, people do use a crossbow to kill themselves.
Occasionally, yeah.
The next victim was a 22-year-old Dane supermodel named Katja Eva Lund Christensen. Katja was on the catwalk.
Oh, not Katja. No,
beautiful Katja.
First of all, you knew
Katja.
It was coming. Second of all, shh.
But not Katja. She's a sweet little
shh. I got a whole bag of shh.
Okay,
sweet dang girl.
Okay.
Katja
was on the catwalk in Copenhagen when she was mowed down by machine gun fire, I assume. The gunman fled the scene. Although police took statements, investigators believed it was an accident and that the killer mistakenly thought he was at a target range and not a fashion show.
Well, yeah, that's an easy mistake.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Down in Texas, you can't hold a fashion show without somebody getting shot.
I'm telling you. Meanwhile, faithful dweeb listener Jamie Tarantino, was killed in a surprise drone attack at her home in Richmond, Virginia.
I hate when that happens, Carl.
Police believe... Tarantino was a terror suspect and was properly killed by the CIA. No follow-up investigation was conducted.
Well, so we got a pattern here of dweeb listeners getting killed, but maybe Jamie Tarantino, she probably was. I mean, that
might not have been related because Jamie T's a little shady anyway.
Yeah, so that might be, Colonel, that might have been an actual thing.
Yeah, that could have been.
Because, but right now you're seeing a pattern, Colonel. You're seeing a pattern of our listeners dying off.
Yes.
And I don't think anyone has put two and two together just yet.
Well,
not yet.
Know, that would involve police work, which clearly is not really happening right now. The next victim was young Fallon Holloway from Denison, Texas.
Fallon, Colonel.
Little Fallon.
She went to the grocery store to buy a bottle of Febreze when she was abducted just out of town.
Well, Febreze does come in handy, Colonel.
You know, all women should carry Febreze.
Well, everyone should keep it on the back of their... toilet.
Yeah, well, and yeah, on the back of the toilet and
take it with you when you visit your relatives or friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Just saying you should.
Good Lord. Her body was found 3 days later floating in a nearby creek. She'd been strangled to death and forced to eat 27 boxes of Ritz crackers prior to her demise.
I was having a hard time coming up with some.
Police suspected foul play.
Police are all over it.
Oh, God. Okay, Jahara Lopes.
Not Jahara.
Her body was found floating in Venice, Italy.
One of those gondoliers got her, Colonel.
John Holmes' body was found.
Big John Holmes.
Yes.
Big John Holmes.
Found mutilated outside his home in Melbourne, Australia. Oh. Mutilated.
Yeah. I bet a dingo did it.
Fucking dingo.
I bet a dingo ate your John Holmes.
We have that coming up. Shut up.
No.
He ruins everything.
Fucker.
Celine Cole and her husband, Ron, mysteriously disappeared after attending a Pokemon festival.
Oh, well, you know, Celine likes Pokemon.
Girl. I love me Pokemon. I didn't know it was dangerous, though.
Yeah. The next listener to disappear was 33-year-old Marvin Hammond from New South Wales, Australia. Marvin was out jogging on the beach when he disappeared. His badly decomposed body was found 3 days later in a dumpster behind a local KFC. Police did a thorough investigation before declaring young Marvin's official cause of death as death by dingo.
Thank you, Carl, for running my fucking line.
Well, he was out jogging,
maybe
which makes
the
him an overachiever.
Maybe the dingo ate your John.
He does. I think he walks on the beach. I think he jogs on the beach or runs
overachiever.
On the beach. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Diana,
he's a good
guy. Diane and Clark Trowbridge's naked bodies were found in their bedroom on March 12, 2018.
I bet they were fornicating, Colonel.
I bet they was doing the dirty.
Apparently, the married couple had been fornicating.
See?
When an intruder killed them with a flamethrower.
Oh.
Crime scene experts reconstructed the events, and the couple's charred remains indicated that the couple had been making love in a position that would allow Diane to watch television during the act.
Makes it more bearable.
Children were able to collect the insurance money and were spared funeral expenses as the killer already cremated the couple.
You know, if you do it doggy style and you got picture in picture, one of you can watch Sports Center, another one can watch Gilmore Girls.
Which one do you watch?
Gilmore Girls.
That's what I thought.
A day later, on March 12th. Nope, that's not a day later. Let's go with March 13th, okay. 2018. 27-year-old Heather Poole was killed when a moped she was riding exploded outside Vicksburg, Mississippi. Part of her torso was discovered 4 miles. That was a hell of an explosion. 4 miles away, they discovered her torso.
Who was that?
Heather Poole.
Oh, I'm sorry, Heather.
The same day, Andy...
Bolly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was shot by a bazooka as he was leaving his home in England.
See, now you don't... Not too many people get shot by bazookas anymore, Colonel. I should raise a red flag.
Well, it's because England has outlawed handguns.
Oh, they allow bazookas, though?
They got... They're rife with bazookas over there.
Bazookas don't kill people.
No, mortars kill people.
Yeah.
Okay. Police suspected organized crime...
Well, he's a little shady. I can see him being involved.
Well, look at you.
Oh, no, this was Heather. This was Heather. I'm sorry. Heather, in Heather's case, police suspected organized crime because Heather was a known loan shark and would shake down local Dairy Queens for ice cream.
Oh.
And then the same day, Andy was killed by a bazooka outside his house.
It seems like there's a pattern we're seeing here. All of our listeners are getting killed.
Yeah.
On March 17th, Michael Birdsaw and his lovely girlfriend, Sydney Saint, were on their way to St. Patrick's Day party.
I hope they didn't have the Wonder Dog with them.
When they were gunned down while driving in East L.A.
Oh, that can happen.
That happens all the time.
Police conducted an investigation, and Michael's estate received a $300 traffic ticket, as apparently the vehicle he was driving went left of center after Michael was shot.
Oh, well, law's the law, Colonel.
Yeah, it is. I mean...
Well, you know, they've got those cameras now out there in California, so if you violate any...
And the cameras got rifles on them.
Yeah.
They got little carbines on them. So.
Well, no, I think what happened, he got shot, and then because he got shot, he veered to the left of the center line, and the camera picked it up, and then he got a ticket.
Do you not really? Did you not pick up on that?
I thought maybe he got... The camera shot him for making an illegal left turn.
No, but that would be cool.
Despite these seemingly unconnected tragedies, all the victims have one thing in common. They were listeners to the History Dweebs podcast.
Well, that's a shame.
Now, the trend continued when on March 23rd, Angie Drake was found beaten to death by a softball bat near her Charlotte, North Carolina home.
Well, she's a softball player.
She was a rogue lesbian softball player.
On March 27th, Donna Curran was found.
If you're going to play softball with lesbians, you take some chances.
Oh, you're putting your life in your own hands. Yeah. Because, you know, lesbians are angry people.
But, you know, let's talk a little bit, Colonel. Ask Brandy about her softball days.
Yes.
Now, when you were a softball player, Brandy, and someone hit like a home run, walk-off home run.
Did you pat them on the bottom?
Did everyone? No. Did the players on the on-deck circle, was getting up the bat next, did they stand at home plate?
I know what the on-deck circle is, dick.
When she came around, hit the game-winning home run, they're doing their bounce-off, did the on-deck batter stay at home plate and just stand there and give her a big French kiss?
Yeah, did you, like, rub the tingly parts?
Good God. All right, so...
Come on, we're trying to learn more.
It happens all the time in my mind.
This is what happens.
And that's fine.
And this is what the problem is. Is me and Timmy are just trying to make the world better through understanding.
Yes.
That's why we like to ask a question. We just like to understand...
So, Chuck, when you know you were playing baseball and somebody hit a walk-off home run, did the on-deck batter stand at home plate? And when you rounded and you were coming home, did he turn you around and stick his dick in your ass?
Now, don't be crude.
Okay.
What's wrong with
that? That's just gay.
that's just gay as hell.
Okay.
Now, why you gotta be like that?
So, shut up and let me do this.
But women
this.
Are different. Men are more aggressive. Women are more loving and kind.
So he did it roughly. That's what you're saying.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It was rough. So he pulled your hair.
You can't have a nice conversation with her.
So he pulled your hair. pulled that mullet.
Let me ask you this. When you had sleepovers.
Yeah.
We didn't have sleepovers.
With your teddies.
No. I'm thinking panties, no bra, anything.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's better.
And you had your pillow fights.
Pillow fights,
and
yeah.
And the breasts are just
jiggling and swaying back and forth.
Shut up. Oh, my God. Okay.
I never got invited to do sleepovers.
Donna Curran.
We can work this into every podcast, Timmy.
It never gets old.
Never gets old.
Poor little Donna Curran was found hanging from a tree at a doggy park while her dog Tucker was innocently sleeping below her swinging corpse.
Hung by a leash.
Oh, poor Donna.
Next, 25-year-old Bridget Clavey's mutilated body was found on a jogging path in Madison, Wisconsin.
See, Bridget, never go jogging.
No, it's a bad scene.
It's bad for your health.
It's bad. Especially, tell me this, Devil. Chesty women. How do they jog?
Women with large breasts.
Women with large breasts.
I just want to clarify. Dude,
is there a special jogging technique for them?
No, you got to get a really good steel reinforced sports bra.
My favorite thing in the world is the summertime when the Mrs. Colonel has a t-shirt or something on, and watching her and Rudy run through the park, run across the field.
That's an amazing story.
I mean, no, because it's like. The dog is all happy and he's galloping, and Mrs. Colonel's breasts are
I'm sure she's going to appreciate.
Jiggling up and down.
You know what? I'm sure she'll appreciate this.
Well, she doesn't listen.
Are you sure? Let me make sure that let me make sure that she knows what's going on.
When you run through the meadow, is your breast jiggling as well?
No, I don't have that medicine that they gave. What was that? That you put on the page?
I don't know. Something that kind of had a side effect that give you man boobs.
I want to make sure that Mrs. Colonel knows how much you think about her breast and share that with the rest of our podcast listeners.
Mrs. Colonel has impressive breasts.
Brandy is texting Renee as we speak.
Yeah, and you know what? She don't get on Facebook no more. And I said something about her on Facebook the other day, and her friend texted her and told her.
Oh, Renee?
Yeah.
She's blocked you. Maybe she just unfollowed you.
Miss Colonel has unfollowed me.
Well, it happens. All right, Brandy. Please continue. This is riveting.
Yeah. Let's see. On April 3rd, 2018.
I bet you didn't realize I wrote fiction.
You waited until I started talking, didn't you?
I bet you didn't realize I wrote fiction, did you?
Well,
you're really like Poe.
Yeah. John Poe.
Yeah.
Homeless guy.
Sam Hildebrand's badly decomposed body was found in his Columbus, Indiana home. Police listed the cause of death as boredom, apparently a pretty common occurrence in Columbus, Indiana.
Columbus is pretty boring.
4 days later, Stephanie Quick was gunned down by a motorcyclist while shopping for fruit in Marin County, California.
Oh.
Hell's Angel Andrew Happ was detained but later released for lack of evidence.
Andrew Happ's a badass.
On
Hell's Angel.
April 15th, supermodel Leslie Hagar was killed while filming a toothpaste commercial in Hollywood. A mic boom mysteriously fell on her head. Her death was ruled suspicious.
Well, it is kind of suspicious if you get killed by a mic boom.
Yeah, well. On April 16th, Brandy McBride's charred remains were found inside her home in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. So the body count is just rising.
Oh, not Brandy.
Yep, body count's rising.
Charred remains? Wonder what happened to her.
I'm surprised she didn't go by baseball bat.
You wonder what happened to her?
Yeah, like you said.
She was evidently burned.
Yeah, but her house is still standing. That just seems odd. Something's amiss, Colonel.
Something's not right here, Timmy. Mm-hmm.
Chanda and her boyfriend Larry had been protecting the forest.
Well, they're good people.
From loggers in Oregon when they tied themselves to a tree on April 20th, 2018. Their badly mauled bodies were found by hikers the next day.
Aww.
Police ruled it death by bear.
Aww. You knew that was going to happen sooner or later with those two hippies in the woods.
You can't tie yourself to trees and expect bears to leave you the hell alone.
Yeah.
No. The lovely Annette Petrie. Fuck off.
Annette Petrie.
Well, give me a second.
The lovely.
Was next when she was pushed in front of the A train in the Bronx.
Oh.
She probably had
body butter on her feet.
Well. Even though many members of their audience were dying mysteriously.
You should never put body butter on your feet.
No, you shouldn't.
Unless you got hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Get you through the house quicker.
Okay. The History Dweeb stars did not show much concern. After all, people die all the time.
Well.
Especially around Chuck. And more importantly, they still had millions of listeners.
Well, you lose a few.
Millions of listeners.
The cast did not show real concern until the tragic events of May 9th, 2018.
This is when it made us say,
something's awry.
May 9th, of course, is a very important date in history for History Dweeb's listeners. It is the birthday of their idol, Tim Scott.
Well, it is my birthday, Colonel.
Millions and millions of people gathered from all over the country to attend TimmyCon in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I believe Putin was there last time. Mm-hmm. Putin came.
It was a warm May evening. It was a warm May evening as listeners gathered at Paul Brown Stadium.
Oh, you said a stage there to me.
The venue only holds.
Paint the picture, Colonel.
Paint the picture.
Yeah.
The venue only holds. Jesus fucking Christ. The venue only holds 75,000 people, so TimmyCon was a standing room only event.
Well, you know you've got more demand than 75,000 seats.
They use Great American Stadium down the street and livecasted it.
The crowd grew excited after opening acts by Beyonce and Jay-Z. Yeah. They were eagerly awaiting the arrival of their idol, Tim Scott. Jesus.
I was backstage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well. The lights dimmed and the crowd stirred with eager anticipation. But, excited. Oh, my God. But moments before their Messiah was to take the stage.
Messiah?
Yeah. There was a terrible explosion.
I took a little liberty there, Colonel.
I would guess. What happened next was pure chaos. Panic ensued as
there was an explosion.
Yeah, I just said that. Thank you for the recap of the sentence before. What happened next was pure chaos. Panic ensued as those in the audience dashed for safety. The vast majority, though, braved the terrorist attacks in hopes of seeing their idol on stage.
Of course.
Well, yeah. I mean, they was running 18-wheelers through there and whatnot.
He
and
still tries to ground.
It's like, well, okay, but I know this is ugly, but Timmy's coming on.
They can't kill all of us.
Yeah.
The headlines would read, Terror at TimmyCon. Rescue workers worked throughout the night. The list of the dead read like a who's who in Dweebland. The dead included Alan Dobbs from Atlanta. He was identified by dental records and his deteriorating liver. Lingerie model Carla Nelson, 35, from New Boston, Ohio. Kate McCarthy from Cincinnati. Teresa Slavens from West Carrollton, Ohio. Christina Montana from Whittaker, California.
Such a shame.
Mandy and Chris Swanson from Des Moines, Iowa.
Interesting fact about Christina Montana.
Now, for Christ's sake.
She was not from Montana.
She was identified by the penis that was in her hand.
Okay.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. They did a DNA match. Oh, they found out who the penis belonged. It was an escrow officer at a bank that she had attended TimmyCon with.
Christine, I apologize for his off-color remarks.
Jim, but she was the one who posted it.
I did not post anything about...
No, she posted that she had gave the handy under the table with escrow.
And that's a closed group.
This is a closed podcast.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Let's see. Jen Moyer and David Hill from Clackamas, Oregon.
Oregon, yeah.
Jesus God.
You sound like Timmy trying to pronounce a word.
I feel like Timmy trying to pronounce a word. Karen Barnes' body was blown to smithereens as apparently she was standing next to the bomb while tweeting.
She tweets a lot.
She is a tweeter.
Yeah.
She's a tweaker.
Keith Fusty.
Frusty.
Mm-hmm. From Parts Unknown. Erica Clements from McKinleyville, California. Jennifer Siemens and her mother, Linda Middleton, also from California. Jennifer Hawkins from Mansfield, Texas. Katie Moorhead was from Ringgold, Georgia.
No Moorhead?
Tommy Boomershine of Olathe, Kansas.
Oh, not Tommy.
Not Tommy.
Lindsay McMillan from Chicago. Joe Hopkins from Brooklyn. Jeff Appel of Indianapolis. Kelsey Froh. Nobody knows where she's from.
They came from all over to see me, Colonel.
They did. Tiffany Bell from Michigan, Amber Anderson from Parts Unknown, Skip Fayu.
Kelsey Froh's from California.
Fayu, whichever, from Parts Unknown. Maggie Glover from Los Angeles, Rebecca Mantel.
Montanle. Rebecca Montanle.
Okay, easy. I'm on page 6 of this shit.
Okay. She's not very good at pronouncing words. Not.
Yeah, I'm glad she doesn't do the shout-outs.
From Sydney, Australia. Lisa Cobb from Norway, Jeff Girdley from Battle Creek, Michigan, Christine Bourgeois. Of she's from somewhere in Texas that I can't even say it. Nacogdoches, what?
It's close enough.
I don't know. Carlene Madison from New York, Amanda Bocci from West Haven.
Bocce ball.
Yes. Brian and Lisa Lawton.
No, not Brian and Lisa. They were lost too.
From England, yeah. Mm. Jessica Bishop from Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Oh, Jessica.
Elise Edrington.
Elise from Arkansas.
Yes, from Arkansas. Yeah. M. Waterfall from Sherwood Forest.
Little Emmy.
England.
Little Emmy Waterfall. No.
Yes. Yeah.
She's Laura O'Reilly.
Not Little Emmy.
Laura O'Reilly from Austin, Texas. Stacy Lim from Jackson, Michigan. Stephen Lafitte.
Lafayette. We are here.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. But anyway, he's from Sweden, and Jason Dykes from San Antonio, Texas, were counted amongst the dead.
Oh, that's such a tragic event, Colonel.
Oh, it's horrible, Timmy. It's horrible.
I almost went out and helped the rescuers, but I didn't want to make a fuss, so I went back.
You had a haircut.
You was talking to Beyonce.
I went back. Yeah, me and Beyonce went out and chilled with Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Yeah. Well, you know, they had to figure out what happened.
He has 99 problems.
Well, the bitch ain't one.
Yeah. And here's the thing, Timmy. The podcast world's a very competitive.
I would like to say from this point on is what the Colonel wrote.
Okay. Yeah.
I do not want to take responsibility for this shit storm that's about to come.
But it is your responsibility.
The podcast world is a very competitive one.
It is. It is.
Everyone's trying to get more downloads, true, more Patreon sponsors, true, and higher rankings on the iTunes.
True.
Now this set the stage for one of the bloodiest events in podcast history, only surpassed by the Comic-Con massacre, in which rival factions of Star Trek and Star Wars fans held a bloody battle with tasers and lightsabers.
Oh, man, I missed that.
Ending in the death of 341 people and 11 hamsters.
I remember that.
Man. Yeah.
It was awful.
Now, with so many listeners falling by the wayside, Tim knew the downloads were going to drop off.
Well, yeah. I mean, so many of our listeners die, and I'm concerned about that.
And as he usually does in emergencies, he turned to the Colonel for help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
The Colonel leaped into action. His first move was to call Dr. Jeff Chestnut and his wife Dawn to come to the States and try to find forensic clues.
Because they're down there in the Dominica.
Yes.
They took a banana boat up.
Of course, the doctor's fear of flying and his insistence on canoeing delayed their arrival until all the remains were too badly decomposed to yield any clues.
Well, you know.
Now, he then called renowned investigator and barrister Nicola Reed.
Solicitor.
To head up the investigation.
She's one sharp cookie.
Now, Miss Reed was a tall, striking woman. She was British, and the colonel couldn't understand a fucking word she said. But he did not care because she was a tall, striking woman.
Yes.
Now, Reed decided to focus on motive. Right. Who had the most to gain by this tragedy?
Oh, there's a lot of suspects.
Reed thought this over for a long time while undressing the colonel with her eyes.
I don't think that happened at all. She may have dressed you with her eyes.
She decided that the killer was probably from what was known as the Colonel's crew, as that is where the more derelict ladies of the group seemed to end up.
Well, that's true.
So she came up with a list of suspects. Now, the two most probable suspects, Timmy, mm-hmm, were Allie and Charlie.
Why is that, Colonel?
Well, while the History Dweebs had reached the pinnacle of success, one podcast had started to come off the rails.
Well, they get about three times as many listeners as we do.
At that time,
times,
Timmy.
10 times, I don't know.
Insight by Allie and Charlie had started fantastically.
Yes.
But Allie's drinking and her unmanageable eyebrows were becoming a point of contention with her partner, Charlie.
Oh, so you're saying there's some friction between the two.
While Allie had quickly grown impatient with Charlie having to delay podcasts to have another child.
Well, she has a lot of children.
She got like 32. Mm-hmm. It was well known in the podcast community that the pair had long since wanted the Colonel to join their podcast.
I don't think that's true. Do you, Brandy?
No.
It's an open secret. This was made more difficult because of Allie's not-so-subtle flirtations with the Colonel.
I didn't realize that she flirted with you.
Oh,
neither did she.
It's horrible. Charlie also harbored secret romantic feelings toward the Colonel.
Nope.
And this made a bad situation even worse. Now, the Colonel, being the moral compass of the podcasting industry, decided it was best not to get involved with these she-devils. It was speculated that Allie and Charlie had decided that the best course to get to the Colonel on their show was by destroying the History Dweebs podcast by eliminating all the listeners.
So they're going to kill our audience so that you will join them.
Right.
Yeah, I see them going to all that trouble.
Now, Charlie could provide alibis for some of the murders, but with 11 kids in the house, it would be easy for her to slip away unnoticed.
True.
Now, Allie's proneness to blackout drunks made her unable to remember even the day before.
Yeah, we don't know that Allie drinks that much.
Oh, she's Australian, Timmy. She does.
Oh, okay.
She drinks Foster's.
Now, they was the
it's
most
Australian for beer, you know.
They was the most likely suspects. Yeah. Now, we got some other ones.
You think she drinks beer and then goes out and puts something on the Barbie?
She might.
I think she drinks beer, throws a big old long-ass knife into the dartboard, into the bullseye.
Fight a dingo.
Yeah. Yeah. Allie's a rough one. So, now, some other suspects here. We got Jessica Williams.
From Chicago.
From Chicago. Now, it was difficult to find any evidence pointing toward her. But she was from Chicago, where people kill each other just for sport. And it was speculated that she was angry that Tim had made one too many happy ending comments about her profession as a massage therapist.
I did not make any happy ending.
And wanted some revenge.
I would never say something like that.
Another suspect, Tasha Banks.
Oh, Tasha, now she's one.
She was extremely unhappy with the attention the colonel was showing toward her mother, Miss Ophelia.
A beautiful young lady, Miss Ophelia.
Email records indicate that she had sent the colonel numerous threatening letters warning him of a Cali-style death if he did not stay away.
Ah, that sounds like Tasha. Mm-hmm.
Another suspect, Jennifer Burdick.
Yeah, Jennifer in Minnesota.
Now, Jennifer was known as the sweet, very pretty girl in the group. But upon a little digging, Investigator Reed had uncovered some unsavory facts about Jennifer, Timmy.
Tell us about it.
While not yet 30, she had been married 4 times.
Oh, I didn't know that she had been married so many times.
All to men with large fortunes and bad hearts.
Oh, coincidence?
All 4 had died, and this is in quotes, peacefully in bed, leaving their estates to Jennifer.
Good for her.
She was worth over $20 million. When Reed confronted her, Jennifer said, I'm from Minnesota. We are polite people.
Well, they are pretty polite in Minnesota.
This seemed to satisfy Reed.
Yeah, well, she wasn't going to push it.
Another suspect was Aaron Wentz, Timmy.
Oh, Aaron.
Now, while kind and bubbly, she secretly hated the fact that her dog was not given shout-outs on the show.
I can understand that.
This was confirmed by a long string of PMs with other members of the group where she stated, ignore my dog at your peril, bitches.
Oh, didn't know that she was so sensitive to her dog about her dog.
Her profile picture shows her holding her dog, so I guess she loves it. Now we got a really shady one here. Nancy Palomares, a.k.a. Nancy Palomino, a.k.a. Nancy Jalapeno. Nancy was an avid Chiefs fan and knew of the colonel's love of the Broncos.
Right.
She was agitated that her husband was a Raiders fan. This kept her in a chronic state of mental imbalance. She behaved oddly, often going to the grocery store in no more than a pair of Chiefs slippers, Timmy.
Oh, wow.
She was well known to a neighbor, and while considered unbalanced, she was not necessarily a prime suspect.
You got a long list of suspects.
Oh, a bunch
there.
Of them. Cindy Lou Lorenzetti.
Oh, now Cindy's a badass.
Cindy had no outward motive, but as a strict libertarian, she hated everyone, just on principle.
Right.
She was known to be armed at all times and was a former roller derby queen.
I am telling you, she's badass.
She once shot a man in Reno just to watch him die, Timmy.
I wonder if it was Chris Collett who started a brothel in Reno.
I don't know. But, yes, so Cindy Lou Lorenzetti, she shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
She's badass.
We got Janet Fitzgerald, Timmy.
Another one.
A former military expert who knew 953 ways to kill a person. She certainly had the means, and her only motive was that she had red hair.
Oh, that's all you need.
And those people do things out of sheer meanness. She claimed on the night of the 4 murders that she had fallen down the steps, and he had emergency room receipts to prove it. The receipts were never accounted for, Timmy.
That's odd.
Shannon Rossett. Now, Shannon had always lived her life above reproach, working tirelessly for the First Church of the Latter-day Colonel and for Amnesty International.
Wow.
But it was suspected that all of her good works made her snap, and she had to do a few evil things just to keep a healthy life balance, Timmy.
What did she do?
Killed a bunch of dweebs.
Oh, wow. Where's Scott in all this? Is he a suspect?
No, Scott is lingering around the perimeter of this.
I see.
Angie Cobes. Now, she was known to train and attack pit bulls and was super sensitive that the colonel often pronounced the name wrong.
Well, that would piss you off.
She was a prime suspect just because she was always angry. And then there was little Sarah Somoza, who was another one who was quite disturbed that the colonel could not get her name right.
I don't think Sarah would kill anyone. She's too sweet.
Well, while she said in public it was she didn't really mind, it disturbed her greatly. She was also not a real blonde, something many people don't know.
Jeez. How do you know that, Colonel?
I didn't know that. Reed right. came up with that in her investigation.
I see. All right.
And the question was, would she kill everyone to keep that a secret?
I see. She had motive then, you're saying.
Yeah. Now, John Cunningham was one of the few males in the group. And as such, he felt he was often overlooked during shout-outs. He blamed Tim for this because Tim was always interrupting the colonel as he was trying to get through the list. While it seems a small thing, John was known to hold long grudges, Timmy.
Oh, I hope he wouldn't be that, that upset.
When John was in the second grade, his lunch was stolen, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Although John knew that Oliver Jones had stolen it, he had no proof. So in 2014, John waited until Oliver's son started the first day of second grade, slipped into his school, and stole the child's lunch. That's what the kind of grudge this man holds, Timmy.
Man, he don't let go.
Yeah. Now we have Fat Boy Gardner.
Who's neither fat, a boy.
Neither fat.
A boy or a gardener.
Yep. But he just could not believe, and in quotes, his words, "These dumb fucks actually have a podcast."
They give can't believe it either.
It's kind of hard to believe.
They give podcasting a bad name, and I vow to eliminate them.
Well, that might be the nicest thing anyone said about us.
And then we have, finally, Chip and Alicia.
Oh, Chip and Alicia would never hurt a fly.
Well, Timmy, one day, while looking at their checking account online, Alicia noticed a monthly charge for Patreon.
Yeah, they're very faithful contributors to our podcast.
She asked Chip about it, who sheepishly told her that he was sponsoring the History Dweebs.
Oh, she didn't know.
Alicia went berserk.
Oh, my God.
Killing Chip, the mailman, two employees of Patreon.
Oh, my God.
And was not seen again. So.
Wow. She's got quite the temper, or Alicia.
Quite the temper, and she could not believe that Chip was giving money to such a dumbass podcast.
Well, she's got a point there.
So, the investigation. Reed and the colonel had set a meeting to discuss the progress of the investigation 30 days after their initial meeting.
I didn't know you were intimately involved in that investigation, Colonel.
Well, she was reporting back to me. She was reporting back to me.
I see.
When Reed did not show to the meeting, the colonel went to her hotel.
Mm.
There he found her lifeless body, Timmy.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Nicola got Nicola. Whacked.
A coroner's report indicated mild bruising and extreme frustration. It appeared she had been hit numerous times with a soft instrument.
Okay.
The death certificate read, "Death by floppy."
Oh, she was floppied to death.
She was floppied to death, Timmy.
Man, that's now a good way to go, Brandy.
Now, the case would go unsolved for many years. Until once again, Tim Scott tried to kill his mother, Dottie.
I would never try to kill my mother.
How many times has he tried to kill his mother?
At least three.
Yes. No, that's not true. I love my mom.
Now, enraged that not only was he trying to kill her, but he seemed to fail at everything, she blurted out, "And this is why I blew up those stupid-ass dweebs."
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of...
In a moment of rage, just gave it all up, Timmy. Tim was stunned.
I can see her doing that, though.
And called local authorities.
I would call 911.
When the police arrived, Dottie had made them pumpkin bread and explained Tim was a chronic liar who tried to kill her often.
That's true.
The police immediately arrested Tim.
Hey, I don't like how this story ends.
And he was sentenced to 12 more years as a manager for the county.
Oh, God, no. I'd rather solitary confinement.
Now.
Too bad.
Did Dottie actually say that to Tim, or was he lying and making that up? That is something we will never know, because Dottie was last seen driving off into the sunset on a Harley with Beverly Oxford.
Mm-hmm. Her and Beverly.
Headed to Colorado to get some gummy bears loaded with THC.
That kind of sounds
the
like
the way
that.
God intended it.
The way God intended it.
Oh, my goodness.
So all we really have, Timmy,
It's a mystery. It's a riddle.
It's a riddle. It's a mystery. We don't know who did it. It appears that Dottie may have done it.
Oh.
That she was behind all this.
I had no idea that she knew how to operate a bazooka and all that. You know, you learn something new every day.
No, I believe Dottie know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Dottie was MI6.
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the History Dweeves murders. It was quite terrifying, Brandy.
I was scared.
Yeah.
I could see you were, you know, shivering as you were playing Candy Crush over there.
Well, you know, I get nothing. You two wrote your things, and you're the Messiah, and Chuck is... You know, the second coming of Inspector.
You got to fight with Amy Schumer.
Yeah, and Chuck's the second coming of Inspector Clouseau over here.
You got arrested for vagrancy.
Yeah, in my own house.
Well, it happens. That's more often than you think.
Well, you know, it's all right.
Okay, Brandy, what are your final wishes for our listeners as we enter this festive season?
Tis
the season.
It is, and I wish all of our listeners a very, very happy holiday and a prosperous new year.
Charles, what is your final words for our listeners in this holiday season?
You know, I hope you just all stay healthy and all stay happy. And
no one gets killed or mutilated.
No one gets killed or mutilated. But, you know, as I always tell people, the only people that are going to give you bad news is your doctor, so... Try to keep your perspective and stay calm.
No, you're like the colonel. Your date sometimes can give you bad news. I read on the news where this woman was on Craigslist selling positive pregnancy tests.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she couldn't crank them out fast enough.
Apparently not. She's making.
She was pregnant and just peeing on the things and selling them to people.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a nasty. Boy, that'd be some kind of joke to pull on Renee.
that you're pregnant?
Yeah.
She was pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, in that sense, if it's a positive reading, what does positive mean in that sense, Carl?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
it's all how you look at it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to have a couple of those to just leave in Taylor's apartment for the next time Renee comes up there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, my thoughts on the holiday season is I would like to everyone how much I care about all of our listeners by saying glad tidings.
Wow.
That
almost brought a tear to my eye. It was so emotional and heartfelt.
Thank you, Brandy. And I don't want to really limit it to the listeners. I want to say to you and Chuck, glad tidings.
Well, I would like to say in the immortal words of Tiny Tim. What did he say?
He said Tiny Tim.
He was all mad at the family because he was all crippled up.
Oh,
and he was
God,
like,
Tiny
God
Tim.
Bless us, everyone.
Fuck them. Fuck them one and all. Didn't
I
he say
you
that?
I thought you meant the singer, Tiny Tim, who said
I did too.
Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
No.
That's a good song. You admit that's a good song.
But thank you for a wonderful year. This has been you make it very fun for us. So I will say that. It's enjoyable to do the podcast with my two. Timmy gets a little cranky. The devil's always mean. But you learn to live with that.
Yeah. And in 2017, we're hoping the colonel learns how to talk into the microphone.
Or use shorter sentences.
Yeah, or show up on time.
Oh, no. Let's not get crazy. That's crazy talk.
Come on, my list of things here.
Well, you just have some things that you can improve on in the new year.
I think we should do some 360 evaluations here.
Well, no. I will be giving you guys your evaluations. Oh,
yeah. Is this going to...
There are some opportunities for improvement for
both of you. Is this
going
to be tied to our pay raises?
No, it's going to be tied to whether or not we continue podcasting. There are... Some areas where you can improve. There's opportunities for improvement, and I want to be able to point those out.
Opportunities for growth.
Yes.
To me,
yes.
I like to call them.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't see it as a negative. See it as, you know, an opportunity to grow.
And I would like
and to... And I would just like to say both of you have tremendous opportunities to grow.
I would like it to note that he keeps looking at you when he's saying all this stuff, Devil. So you might want to go home, listen to some of these episodes and say, where could I improve? Where could I... I the best Devil I could have been?
Say, where did I go wrong?
I will say about Brandy. You know, you start with a positive, and she does show up mostly on time. Reading is not the best, but she tries. She puts forth an effort. But her attitude, there's as an area for improvement.
Well, she's pretty, but it's lost on a podcast. So that's her best attribute.
I mean, attitude, ain't even though.
Your right. attitude could use some work, Devil. Your attitude could use some work.
That's our feedback to you.
Would you like my feedback?
No,
it's not the time. We're just trying. Let us help you, Devil.
Yeah.
Let us help you.
We want to make you the best.
We want to make you the best Devil you can be.
Yeah.
Okay.
The attitude is something that you can work on.
The foul language.
I would say through prayer.
repentance.
Yeah.
Self-flagellation.
And just saying you're sorry. Use this time, this valuable time.
Okay. I'm sorry that the two of you are such fucktards that you want to use this time when I could be out shopping for, a Black Panther mask and gloves to air this dirty laundry.
I would like to say, if you're out shopping today and you're thinking, what can I buy Tim and the Colonel?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Cash is king.
Yeah. And I'm not going to
I
Hustler.
Really don't feel that you're taking this... I'm
not taking it seriously or
well. Constructive criticism in the vein that it's
to help you grow.
I'm
going to cut your vein.
See, this is what we get to me. Listeners, we got another year of this, and we're trying to help you. Nope. I know. Have you seen a counselor, Devil? Have you had professional counseling?
So they can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, at History Dweebs, the podcast. Join us there because that's where all the folks we mentioned in our podcast today hang out. We interact with them. It says History Dweebs, the podcast.
Find us on iTunes.
Yes, please leave us a review. If you give us a positive review, we'll quote you on the air.
And we'll send you a gift certificate.
No, we won't. Nope. That is not true.
Nope.
We won't.
And you can find us on Twitter.
Yes, we have. You can follow the podcast at History Dweebs
One. Real History Dweebs.
No, at at History Dweebs One, or you can follow the Colonel at Hawk Waters.
We're going to get into let's get into a Twitter battle with Donald Trump.
No, you can do that. I'm not. Brandy, glad tidings to you and yours.
Thank you.
It's been a marvelous year, and I'm looking forward to a shorter year next year. Colonel.
I would say first Noel to you, Timmy.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Colonel. And
it's pronounced Noel.
Noel?
Yeah.
Okay. And I would, let's not forget that in order to properly recognize the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, send your love offerings into the First Church of the Latter-day Colonel.
Do not do that. That's a bad idea.
I need to set up a Patreon for that page.
It's $14.95, 20s and 50s only. Yeah. No change.
Yeah, you can get saved because a lot of you have been sinning.
Do not send money. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.